and we would hear your word, and your spirit would move in us, and we'd respond to your word by living faithful lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been on a journey since the first Sunday of the year, with the wise men looking to the light, to the star, following out to the wilderness, out to the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized, and then way out in the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. From the baptism to the desert to the synagogue, we've tried to catch up to Jesus so we could walk in his light, seeking him, obeying him, obeying God as Jesus obeyed God, submitting our lives to him and living under his lordship and caring about what he cares about. It all leads to this point right here. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. And we leave everything and follow him. Jesus said, do not be afraid, because the way of God can look scary at times. And if we try to walk the way of God apart from Jesus, it will crush us. But he was not calling Peter and the brothers, James and John, to walk God's way apart from him, relying on their own resources, relying on their own knowledge and their own strength. They left everything and followed him. They were walking with him. All that we've said about walking in the light leads to this. We follow Jesus. We're with Jesus. See Peter. See his life before Jesus and see how Jesus changed things when he came along. As you do, see your own life and see if it becomes obvious in your life how different things are once you're totally sold out for Jesus. Peter had a boat and a business. He worked with his hands. He caught and sold fish. He worked outside in the hot sun, battling the heat, storms at sea, and days like the one described in Luke chapter 5, where he works hard with no results. There's no catch. He probably had to contend with fluctuations in prices, certainly with taxes imposed by the Romans and by the local authorities. Some traders would be dishonest and rip him off. He had overhead. He had the cost of his nets and repairing his boat. He had men who worked for him, men who expected to be paid. We know Peter had a family. In the Gospel of Mark, we read mention of his mother-in-law. And if there's a mother-in-law, then there's a wife. Did Peter and his wife have children? Well, most couples in first century Palestine did. Did Peter's younger brother, Andrew, live with them? What about the parents of Peter and Andrew? How many people lived in that house, depended on the profits that Peter and Andrew made catching and selling fish? It's the life of a simple, hard-working man. How did this man go from unremarkable first century peasant to the most noted of all of Jesus' 12 disciples? How do you go from the life that you lead, known or unknown as you may be, accomplished or not, how do you go from the life you have to the life of a person swept up in Jesus so that your life wouldn't make any sense apart from him? Do not be afraid. Leave everything and follow him. Luke 5:3 says Jesus preached at the shore, and there was such a crowd leaning in to hear the stories he told, to hear the power in his words. He needed space. He needed room And so he got into Simon's boat. He had this message that was clearly from God, and people were drinking it up. So he got into Simon's boat, and that can't be easy. Preaching from a boat while sitting in the boat as it bobs in the water, but that's what Jesus did. Amazingly, Peter was fine with it. And I say amazingly because he had just come in from an all-night fishing session, which would be tiring and satisfying if it made a great haul and a great profit with it, but that's not how things went down. Peter, exhausted from fishing all night, had nothing to show for his efforts. Would all those mouths in his household go hungry because he came to shore empty, tired? Surely, feeling his failure, he had to come and face the people who counted on him and sadly shake his head no. No money for bread today. Now, this teacher, who, as far as we can tell, wasn't out fishing all night, wants to sit in his boat. So Simon Peter says, okay, just goes along with it. Maybe he was already sensing holiness in Jesus. Maybe he was too tired to object. Whatever, take the boat. Maybe he had a sense of propriety. And he figured Jesus was of a higher social station, although we know Jesus was also from a peasant family. But he deferred. Whether an act of faith or self-abasement or resignation, Peter stood by with his nets as Jesus sat in the boat. And I wonder if sometimes that's what following Jesus is about. A combination of faith, humility, and resignation. Jesus met Peter in his broken state because that's where Jesus meets us. Jesus meets us where we are. Where are you right now? Are you uncertain about the future? Are you feeling yourself full of confidence because you've experienced some wins lately? Are you just happy it's Super Bowl Sunday and do you circle this day on your calendar? Where are you right now? Jesus meets you where you are, and that's where he met Peter in his broken state. We see in verse 4 that the sermon is over, and people mill about just as we do on Sundays after the formal time of gathering is ended. Jesus had finished the preaching, but with Peter, he's just getting started. Put your nets out in the deep water, Jesus tells him. Come on. It's one thing for the rabbi, the son of a carpenter, that's kind of a land job, to use Peter's boat to teach. But now, the non-fisherman is going to tell the professional, the defeated professional, how it's done. Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked all night, caught nothing." Hear the fatigue? The frustration? Yet, he continues, "If you say so, I'll let down the nets." He had no expectation that this would go any differently. He didn't know anything was about to happen. But he goes through the work of getting the nets back into the boat, taking the boat out, because Jesus said, drop them into the deep waters. They caught so many fish, the nets were beginning to break. With this sail, they can buy 5 new, better nets. The family's going to eat bread and meat tonight. Can you hear the whoops and hollers of the men on Simon Peter's crew as they forget their fatigue? It's amazing how quickly you can forget you were tired. And they start to celebrate. I wonder if this is what following Jesus is sometimes. Unbelievable joy when you absolutely don't expect it. The men on both boats worked frantically. The fish were jumping in the boats. The boats were sinking. And Peter couldn't take his eyes off Jesus. He had been a fisherman for a long time. He knew this work. The previous night was not the first time he came home empty. But this, he had never seen this. He rushed ashore and threw himself on the ground at Jesus' feet. "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." I wonder if this is what it is to follow Jesus. We just get a glimpse of holiness and we're so awed. It's terrifying to see our sinfulness in Jesus' light. So we ask Jesus, as Simon did, to go away. Go away, Jesus. But look at what Simon was doing while he was saying, go away, Jesus. He was down on the ground holding on to Jesus' knees. Get away from me. Please don't leave me. The glory of the Lord is a terrible thing. The absence of the Lord is much worse. We want nothing more than to be with Him, and we're terrified of nothing more than being with Him. Then that's when Jesus said to Simon Peter, fear not. And to you or me in our darkest hour, fear not. When I lay awake at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning sometimes, worrying about all manner of things, up all night trying to quiet my anxieties, unable to, He whispers to my soul, and I don't always hear Him, but He's always saying it, fear not. In the hospital waiting room, there's not a more terrible place, the hospital waiting room, not knowing. The voice of the Holy Spirit, do not be afraid. Driving your son to the drop him off for the first semester, freshman year of college, a few states away. Don't be afraid. Life is full of things to fear. And the Bible promises that if we give ourselves fully to Jesus, this is a promise from the Bible. This is biblical. If we give ourselves fully to Jesus, we're going to suffer for doing it. That's coming. So He says to us, fear not. I am with you. I wonder if that's what following Jesus is. We hear Him say, fear not, and we believe Him. Do not be afraid, Simon Peter. From now on, you'll be catching people. What does that mean? He caught fish. He took the fish and sold it to people who would cut the fish up, cook it, and eat it. He wasn't going into the slave trading business. What did Jesus mean when He said, from now on, you'll be catching people? I'm going to tell you, I don't think Simon Peter knew what Jesus meant. I don't even think he knew a little bit. I think Peter was so awed by what he had seen and what he sensed in his own spirit, that he knew Jesus was from God and he had to obey. Just as the wise men saw the star and had to follow it, just as John the Baptist baptized Jesus and heard a voice from heaven, my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. When Peter saw that catch, something in him knew this was God. So when Jesus said to him, from now on, all he could do after that was follow. And I know that's what following Jesus is. We don't understand everything, but we see His light cast upon us. And when His light is on us, we see our own sin. Yet we don't feel shame. We feel love. We feel Him extending forgiveness and grace. And then we start to change. Because He goes to work on us on the inside and changes us from the inside out. It says they left everything and followed Him. Sometimes we read too much into that. We know later in the story they were back out on the water in Peter's boat. So Luke's statement, they left everything, doesn't mean they literally gave it all away. After the resurrection, before they saw the resurrected Christ and they weren't sure what had happened and they were disillusioned and scared and lost, they went back to what they knew, back to the boat, back out on the water. When Luke writes that they left everything to follow Jesus, he's talking about their center of gravity, the rhythm of fishing, cleaning the nets, selling the catch, repairing the boat, rinse, repeat. This is no longer the rhythm of Simon Peter's life. Those things are still there. but they diminish to the background as Jesus moves to the center. Do you, I don't know, teach high school, work as a dental hygienist, are between jobs? Maybe you're a financial advisor, a custodian. Are you a student, a fourth grade student, a fourth year graduate student? Following Jesus, maybe you're still going to teach. Maybe you're still going to clean teeth or clean floors or study. But when you follow Jesus, when we make the decision to walk the path and follow as disciples, our lives change. Once we step into the light, who we are is defined by who Jesus is and who we are in Him, in our jobs, in our relationships, in all of life. And it's true as we go through the seasons of life, because life is always changing. We're always becoming something new. I hope you'll spend this year, 2019, we're still right at the beginning. You can still make those plans. This is what 2019 is going to be. And I hope you'll spend this year in spiritual disciplines that help you be so observant you see God daily, and so obedient you live into holiness because God calls us to be holy. I hope we can all fully submit to Jesus and long for justice and liberation that He proclaimed, that He preached. All this leads to this. We are God's possessions. We are free because we are entirely His. What's the pathway ahead for you, for us? Simon Peter certainly didn't know. I don't know. Only God knows. But we need not know everything. We only need to follow Jesus every step of the way. Follow Jesus and be not afraid. He's with us in the dark times. He carries us into blessing. And He fills us with unfailing, unending joy. Amen. You are invited. You are invited, as we're going to sing, to respond to God with singing the song, singing your heart out, worshiping from the depths of your soul as you sing. You are invited. If God is moving in you, and you're not sure what it means, come and kneel down at the steps while we're singing and pray. Look at the pictures that have tracked through our five-part series of Walking in the Light. And pour your heart out to God and ask God, God, what are you saying in this time? Or if you need help, come and pour out your heart to God and ask for the help that you need. Angel and I will be at the front. We have Roger and Heather will be at the back. If you want someone to pray with you, that's why we're here, to pray with you. But everyone stand and let's respond.